What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, and it's time to talk some football. Really wish we had some better football to talk about, but that monstrosity we saw down in Tampa will have to do. Joined, as always, after every game by Andy Herman, the Don of the Pack-A-Day podcast, among many other Packers morsels across the internet. Andy, how are you on this not a victory Monday?
No victory Monday. I'm just so encouraged, Aaron, that everyone in my mentions and online has been nothing but positive and looking at the positive throughout everything. So it's been a very encouraging 24 hours.
No negative whatsoever. People are just waiting. They're just waiting to pounce on the bad game this team had, and they most certainly did that. All right, let's start 30,000 feet. Obviously, there's a lot of blame to go around, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it's just one thing, because it never is one thing. But I will say, you know, the old coaching adage is it's never as good as you think it is, and it's never as bad. And then you go back and watch the tape and blah, blah. I'm telling you what, though, I'm going back and watching this game, and it's about as bad as I remember it being when I watched it live. Was there anything positive to take away from this game, or is this simply a burn the tape type of game?
Well, that's the weird thing with the Matt LaFleur era, right? Is like everything's been really good overall, but the losses have been really ugly. And you go back to the Chargers game, the 49ers games, this game, right? Like there is very little positive to take away. I thought Montrevious Adams looked good in spurts. I thought he's shown flashes for three straight weeks now in limited playing time, which is encouraging. Until he got, you know, grabby again, I thought Josh Jackson had a couple nice plays, but did have the play in the end zone that he gave up for the touchdown, and then the pass interference as well. So you got ups and downs there. Chris Barnes had a couple nice thuds, but also got lost a couple times, missed the tackles. It's like everything that I could possibly say as a positive there, there's an easy counterpoint to say, there's not a ton, and it's just one of those, unfortunately, burn the tape, try to learn your lessons and move on from it.
Let's look at Aaron Rodgers first, because it all starts with him. We were all talking about what an MVP type season he was having coming into this game. And then, you know, you spent the week knowing that this was a team in the Buccaneers that was going to pressure. They were going to send guys. And you thought they'd have at least a decent handle on it. I mean, of the teams the Packers had faced up until now, I would say the Saints were the one team that kind of gave them just a little bit of something as far as, you know, creating things up front, getting free rushers. So you knew it was possible, and the Packers, for the most part, seemed to handle that okay. You know, they did get to Aaron once, etc. But then yesterday, I don't know what it was, the game plan, Aaron seeing ghosts, what have you, but the wheels just seemed to come off, both from protection, from game plan standpoint. What do you think happened overall to cause this complete regression to form?
I mean, it starts with pressure up front and the, you know, not inability to run the football for Green Bay. Give Tampa's front a ton of credit in that regards. They basically beat the Packers up on the offensive line pretty bad, which hadn't been done all season long. So I think you start there. But even then, Matt LaFleur has stuff set up to, you know, counteract this. So little things that just didn't go right throughout the course of the game. So if you're not going to be able to run inside, well, Matt LaFleur is going to run the quick screen stuff to the outside. And I thought second play of the game, they've got a 3-on-1 on the outside. Carlton Davis jumps inside, breaks up that pass.
Great play by Davis. Yeah.
But they don't really come back to that. And that's one of those counters that they have to not being able to run inside. All right, you're going to bring pressure up front. All right, we're going to throw a back shoulder to Davante Adams 1-on-1 on the outside, something that Rodgers and Adams hit how many times throughout the course of a year. They throw it out of bounds on that specific play. He can't get his feet in, and they're just a little bit off. You're going to, again, bring pressure. All right, we're going to do some of those quick plays to EQ on the outside. Rodgers and EQ off on two separate plays, two incomplete passes. Like, he has counters set up in his offense to counteract whatever Tampa's going to do on defense, even if they're bringing pressure, even if they're getting home with some of that. And all of those things just didn't work. It was all just a little bit off. And that's why, again, somewhat I leave with this was a lot of the Packers shooting themselves in the foot and not executing. Give Tampa credit, but I'm still very positive on this team because I've seen them hit on these plays and they just didn't execute in this specific game.
It's interesting you mentioned the Davante back shoulder, because that's a play, like you said, that they do regularly hit in their sleep. And it's funny because Rodgers does throw it out of bounds, but Davante gives him very little space to operate. Yeah. If you watch the route, like, he runs it more towards the sideline than I think he customary, you know, he would normally. And I just got to contribute that to a little bit of rust to a guy who hasn't played. Those are going to come back. What's interesting to me is how little you saw in the way of, like, remember first week, especially the first 2 weeks, really, we saw a bunch of those. You and I have talked about this, the yep. cluster, the trio kind of, you talked about the trio split out wide. They would have a lot of these bunch sets in line and they would, you know, basically run clear outs and then run somebody underneath for these like really shallow, quick crossers. I thought we were going to see a ton of that.
Yeah.
Because this is a team that likes to get upfield. They like to blitz. We saw precious little of it. And so I kept thinking, okay, they're going to get to it. That's an obvious counter. And then for whatever reason, and this, you talk about the trends. It's not so much that, yes, they tend to get blown out when they lose under Matt LaFleur. That has certainly been, yeah, it's hard to look at that any other way. But it's funny how little adjustments they seem to make in the flow of the game, even coming out of like halftime. I don't know. Like, do you see that as maybe something that Matt LaFleur is still working on or learning about as a coach? Because, you know, again, if the script is going well, they seem to be flowing just fine and things take off and they score a ton of points. But the moment that a team, quote unquote, figures them out or what have you, or say there are a number of miscues and you're suddenly behind the sticks, it just seems that this offense under LaFleur doesn't have the ability to kind of turn the boat, so to speak. And I use that analogy because I know it's hard. I know it takes, you know, it's not something that can happen on a dime, but the best coordinators, the best coaches that we've seen in the NFL throughout history are all able to do that in game.
Yeah, I've seen LaFleur make adjustments. I thought the Philadelphia game last year, even though they lost it, he started trying to attack aggressively downfield. They were taking all that away. He made adjustments to get, you know, more underneath stuff, more checkdowns, and take advantage of what they were given. They were able to mount a comeback. It wasn't enough. But I do think it's absolutely concerning that they've had kind of these collapses in games. But at some point, when you're down 14, 21, you know, it was what, 21 points when they were down in the right. in the third quarter when Rodgers got the ball back. There, I think one of the first plays they ran was a play action fake when they got back, and they just they didn't buy it for a second, shockingly.
Why
right?
would they?
Right. Yeah, right. So, and they get sacked. And
it was all that's so funny you mentioned that, because that whole quarter reminded me of McCarthy. It was all weird. Just like running these deep routes. You saw guys disappear off your television screen, all long developing plays against a team they know they can't block up front.
Yeah.
Whether it's man up or whether it's blitz. So, yeah, to me, that was kind of a perfect example of, all right, let's get to the quick hitters. Let's get to the crossers. Yeah. Let's get to the screen, the traditional screens. Let's do something to blunt this pass rush. But instead, they seem to call the game right into it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I would have liked this. I mean, the first drive had two underneath routes that they hit on and went for nice gains. I think Devonta had one on the second drive.
Right.
But either way, they hit a couple of those. They didn't really come back to that. But at some point, when you're down by that much, you've got to go, you know, 11 personnel.
You got to get chunks off. Yeah, that's true.
It's up to your players to win. Like, you can't run the play action stuff. You can't run the jet sweep stuff. Like, you've at some point, you just got to send your guys out wide and say, all right, win your one-on-one matchups, let Rodgers do it.
It's McCarthy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And they weren't able to do that. And when you're down by that much, Tampa knows what's coming. You're not going to run the ball. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to honor anything else. They're just going to play pass. They're going to play deep. And, you know, good luck at that point.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because you can't absolve Rodgers either, because as tough as some of the play calling was, like, there's plenty of moments where you mentioned the Devontae throw or the Tanyan play where Tanyan's, I mean, in the parlance of the NFL, wide open over the middle, and Rodgers throws it low and away, and it's almost picked. I mean, we saw a number of these throws, and this was after the interceptions, where I just think he got spooked. His eyes started dropping. He started looking at the rush. He missed a throw downfield because of it. They literally showed a replay where he's on his guy, and all of a sudden he starts spooking about pressure that's non-existent in the pocket, and then he comes back to it, but he misses the throw. I just thought everything always works together, obviously, and it's all part of a big component that just kind of fell apart yesterday. Let's look at the defense, because I know it's funny, because, you know, I've been a big Mike Pettine fan, and I've defended him, and I understood why Matt decided to bring him back despite the calls for his ouster after the embarrassment of the NFC Championship game. But it's funny because it's hard to keep defending a guy who keeps throwing out the same concepts and the same looks and the same kind of things when nothing is working in regards to everything that was complimentary and good for this defense last year, whether it was intercepting the ball, turnovers in general, getting after the quarterback, creating pressure, having sacks, etc., or, and especially so this year, the difference being the complete meltdown in the red zone, where last year they were lights out in that regard. Like, yes, you could march between the 20s on them, but you knew more often than not, if the opponent got to the red zone, it was over. It was a wrap. They're going to have to kick a field goal, if anything. This year, it's whatever. And Patton tried everything yesterday. He went three-man rush, touchdown. He went all-out blitz, touchdown. I just don't know where he has to go, what he has to change. But it's clear that all the complementary pieces from last year have abandoned them for a multitude of reasons. How do you think he gets this ship on course? Because it's not like they're going to make some big trade. There's not like there's a difference maker that's going to walk through the door.
Yeah, I thought Zach Cruz put it very well after the game when he said, what is it exactly that this defense does well? You know, they're right. Not stopping the run. They're not tackling. They're not getting turnovers. They're not getting sacks. They're not
I didn't even mention the tackling. Thank you. Thank you, yeah, the tackling. Corey Behnke, let it be known that I didn't mention the tackling this time. It was Andy.
It was me. Yes. And then, you know, they're not, like you said, if you want to play bend but don't break, you want to play more passive, fine, but then you better limit them to field goals in the red zone, and you're not doing that either. So you have to figure out something that you can hang your hat on and do well. I think that's job number one. What is it that you want to accomplish? Because this passive, you know, 3-4 man rush, you know, stay with 7 or 8 in coverage, it hasn't worked. And a huge part of that is because Z and Preston and Kenny and Rashawn and that entire group isn't getting the same pressure that they were getting towards the end of last year. Yeah, if those guys are getting constant pressure, by all means, play 3- and 4-man rush, because those guys were getting there. You didn't need to do much else. They were just a 3- or 4-man wrecking crew. It hasn't been that way. And I think that's why Mike Penn has to change. And I say, What happened to 2018 Mike Patton? Because that Mike Patton working with nothing on defense for the
right,
most part,
his hands were tied,
was so much better than the one that he has with the talent on the field right now. And there's talent issues at times when even your top end guys aren't, you know, always holding up their end of the bargain, but figure out a way to make it work. I want to see some of those more exotic blitzes, confuse the offensive coordinator at some point. Right now it just seems way too vanilla.
Well, it's vanilla and it's so passive. And that's what killed me all last year. That's why I talked about all offseason. At some point, don't you have to try and dictate? Like, when, especially against a quarterback like Tom Brady, who has seen everything and knows everything, you drop 8 into coverage. You drop, hell, you even go 2-man rush at one point, although who knows if that was a mistake or whatever. But, you know, you want to keep playing these coverages. He knows he's got all day. Yep. He's just going to wait for someone to uncover. He's not going to panic. He's not going to force a bad throw. He's Tom Brady. Well, and I understand that you have to, like, dial a coverage a little bit. Oh, there goes my light. You have to dial a coverage a little bit, but come on. At some point, you got to know that the only way you're winning this game is to get the quarterback off his mark to hit Tom Brady, and they did anything but.
Well, and the 3-man rush in the red zone, I can understand a 3-man rush from time to time. What I absolutely hated about that specific play, one, you've shown it so many games this season.
Right.
So you know Tampa had
it's your go-to
plan for it. And number two, there was no disguise on that whatsoever. That was 8 guys way back and 3 guys up at the line. There's either 3 guys coming or less. And you know Tom Brady knows he has all the time in the world. And what a more perfect game to show the juxtaposition between two defenses, one that is fast, flying to the football, aggressive. They're setting the tone. They're bringing energy. And then another one that, like you said, is passive, not flowing to the football. And I'm not, when I say fast, I'm not necessarily talking about 4.3 40 fast.
Time speed, right.
My Summers is fat. Like, they've got fast guys. This is game fast. And Tampa played game fast. Green Bay did not.
Well, it's funny too, because you talk about trying to dictate, right? And just trying to make them uncomfortable, like at least make them earn it. I thought there was a great quote coming from Todd Bowles. I think it was via Devin White after the game, where he said after the first 2 drives, you know, he gathered up his secondary and was like, you're giving these guys way too much respect. Make them earn it. And if you look at that second pick in particular, that guy is hanging all over Devontae. Now, he does a great job of not turning him. You know, he doesn't, to the letter of the law, that is perfect coverage. Yep. He's literally grabbing him, but he's not turning his hip. He's not influencing the play other than to knock the ball away. Then you turn around and you watch the Packers on defense, and their fucking defensive backs are 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, they got free release after free release, and it's really easy to operate, and you're paying them all this respect. And I understand Evans is good, Godwin is good, etc. But at some point, don't you have to make them earn it? That's what drives me insane.
And there's a level of it that it feels like they're so afraid of giving up the deep ball, and they're they want to make you earn it in chunks and, you know, in bits and pieces and things like that. I think you're right. They have to make them earn it the other way, where you're not going to give them an easy 3-4 yards. There was that 3rd and 2 play where I know
the third and two just drove me nuts.
Where there's everyone's 10 yards back on 3rd and 2 in the red zone. And You know, listen, maybe they had a tell on tape where Tampa goes, you know, deep in that specific situation on every play. I don't know, but it doesn't look great. And to your point, yes, it's one thing to make them earn it and go, you know, 15, 20 plays and try to get touchdowns. But you're, again, I go back to Zach Cruz. What are they doing well? You're still giving yards. You're still getting touchdowns. There's nothing that you're doing to really limit this team. And I'm with you. I think they have to make them earn it more.
So spinning this forward now, obviously they'll go to Houston now and everyone will expect them to win, but that's a game they very easily could lose because Houston has a lot of talent and, despite their record, they've come close in a lot of games. They were very close, hell, yesterday, blah, blah, blah. And Deshaun Watson is no joke. That's a really talented quarterback. It'll be interesting to see how they respond. What do you expect, if anything, to be different on either side of the ball? Because look, that's a Houston defense that can get after the quarterback. There's no question there. Do you expect a major calculated kind of change from LaFleur and company, or do you think they'll not so much burn the tape because no NFL team really does that, but, or do you think they chalk this up as just 1 week and they try to continue on as normal?
I think it's twofold. I think on offense, you kind of burn the tape and say, you know what? We didn't bring our A game. We didn't execute. We didn't have a great game plan. We're going to keep doing the same things that we did in the first 4 weeks and go from there and kind of chalk it up to that. I think on the defensive side, this is more what we've seen through the course of the first 5 weeks of the season, you know, overall. And I think you do have to make some sort of whole skill, you know, not whole skill is the wrong word, but you have to make some sort of change and say, what are we going to do differently? What are we going to be able to do to, you know, get more pressure? Deshaun Watson is going to do a lot of the same things, both with getting the ball down the field, but now he's much more mobile as well. So they're going to have to find a way to generate pressure. And I think that's going to be a huge, you know, portion of this game. Listen, we can talk, and I know you've talked a lot about adding more receivers, you know, not adding more receivers at offense and things like that. This game comes down to in the trenches so much more often than not. And yesterday, Green Bay got their ass kicked in the trenches on both sides of the field. No two ways about it. And if that happens, 100%. If that happens more often than not, you're going to lose games. And if you're able to protect, you're able to get to the quarterback, you're going to win games. So I think it has to start there. The offensive line needs to protect much better. You got to be able to get to the quarterback. They haven't done that consistently. They can do that against Houston. They'll be right back on track. If it's the same thing against Tampa, then raise the red flag, raise the alarm, because it's going to be another issue.
I tell you what, sitting here on Monday, my hunch is it'll feel a lot like the Saints game. I think both teams are going to march up and down the field. I just hope the Packers are the ones kicking the field goal at the end to win it. We'll see.
For the Texans too, I guess if you want, you know, some piece of good news, I always feel like it's one thing to have a blowout loss. I think you can learn from that and get over it quicker. The Texans just had their heart ripped out of their chest. That was an absolute must win division game. They're winning against the Titans. They go up, they go for two. They don't get it. The Titans drive down 4 seconds left, tie the game, then go down and win in overtime. They play extra snaps there. If I would expect Houston to have, because it's, and that's just more of a microcosm of how their season is gone.
Very much so. Right.
I have a feeling that they're going to have a little bit more of a hangover from that game than Green Bay will. Doesn't, you know, gift wrap a win for the Packers by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm hoping that, you know, the Houston maybe does have a little bit of the hangover from that Tennessee game.
And for the record, Cornell made the right call going for two. I don't care what anyone says.
I agree. I love it. And you get some accident forgiveness there too, because even if you don't, if you get it, it's over. If you don't, your defense still has the ability.
You're supposed to be able to stop them going down in the entirety of the field.
You get two shots to win, basically.
100%. Andy, it's always great to talk to you here day after the game. Hopefully next time it's under better circumstances, more exciting, more Victory Monday style. Make sure you check out all of Andy's stuff at Packaday Podcast and the 1,000 other places where you can find his content. Andy, thanks for joining me, buddy.
Thanks, Aaron. Have a good one.